Hallelujah. All right, all right. Thank you. Amen. Are you excited to be here? Your life will never be the same again. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, thanks a million for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for showing us your kindness and your mercies by choosing us to be here. We could have been somewhere else, Lord, except in your presence. But thank you for making a way for us to be here for these few days. Perfect that which concerns this gathering. Let your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Wow, what a blessing. Well, I bring you greetings from our prophet. All the way from Accra. Hallelujah. He sends his regards, his love, and his blessing over this meeting. And very soon you will see him practically with you again. Amen. Amen. And it's exciting to have such an anointed and a great father who is always thinking about young people and thinking about the church and about all of us. Hallelujah. Amen. And I also want to bring you greetings from the father of this land, Bishop Richard, our missionary. You know, about 20 years ago, when I was going on missions from Accra to Mozambique, you know, I was excited to go on mission, but at the same time was feeling a bit sad because I felt I was going to be very far from the prophet. Because I was working in his office, and I used to see him every day traveling together. And here I was on my way to a far country. And in those days, there were no WhatsApp. There were no video calls or any of those things, you see. You know, so I told him that that's the only thing that is making me sad. And he said to me, "I'm Bishop Richard. He's a missionary to the UK. And he's there very far from Accra, but he's closer to me than anybody in Accra here." So I was so blessed by that counsel. And that was when I took it that I'm going to learn from Bishop Richard. He has been my father in following, and I'm still learning. I've learned a lot of things from him. Hallelujah. So we are blessed to have one of our zin missionaries, a good example of who a missionary and a son should be, and that's Bishop Richard. So I'm blessed to have such a person in my life. Hallelujah. Oh, you may be seated. You may be seated. We have a long way to go. Hallelujah. And I want to salute Sister Ibana for being a good mother and a missionary wife. Hallelujah. What a blessing. Amen. And I'm also excited to be with my convener, Sister Philippa Maka. Oh, make some noise. Make some noise. It's allowed. Amen. Sir Philippa, God bless you for playing your role very well in this denomination. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands one more time. No, lift up your hand. I didn't say you should clap. Lift up your hands. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Father, we ask for a blessing. Everybody ask for a blessing. A blessing. A blessing. What you need is a blessing. In the name of Jesus. Sandarabo Shekarabaraba. Pray in the spirit. Rebabara katariba laboroto yodabraba shekarabaraba. On the Ask for a blessing, a blessing, a blessing. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we are blessed because we feel your blessing in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Turn with me quickly to Ephesians chapter 2. The theme for our camp is many are called. Hallelujah. I'll be teaching from that little book that I believe has so many revelations to bless us. But quickly, let's look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. It says, and you has he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. How many of you remember or believed, or not that you believe, you remember that you were dead in trespasses? Or you have forgotten? Yes. We're really dead in trespasses, in sin. What it means, you know, when you are dead, you don't respond. No matter what anybody, somebody can shout out to you, slap your face, pinch you, you don't respond. Now, when you were dead in sin, that's how you were. Is that no amount of talking, preaching, advice, counseling could turn your attention or could get your attention. You are really dead in sin. But Jesus Christ sent his spirit to quicken us. Verse 2. It says, verse 2, quickly. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, before you became born again, you were walking according to a course, a pattern. And it's called the pattern of this world. So the world has a pattern. It has a way of life. And when you are not born again, your life is tailored to walk in that pattern. Do you see? And I'm taking time to explain because you can be a Christian and be walking according to the course of this world. You see, there are two kingdoms in the world. We have the kingdom of God, which is also called the kingdom of light, which is also called the kingdom of Jesus. And then we have the kingdom of Satan, which is also called the kingdom of darkness or the kingdom of the world. Do you see? Remember when Satan went to tempt Jesus, he told him that, look at the world, everything is mine. Glory in it, everything is mine. It's been given to me. If you bow to me, I'll make you the president of this world. So you see that the course of the world talks about the kingdom of darkness. And when you are not born again, you find yourself operating and walking in that pattern. It's like you are under the rulership of the kingdom of darkness. That's why in Colossians 1 verse 30, it says that for he has translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. So as soon as you become born again, there is a spiritual translation. You are translated, you are moved spiritually to be positioned into the kingdom of God or the kingdom of Jesus or the kingdom of light. So you need to be conscious of that, because else, as you are in church and you are a Christian and you are born again, before you realize, your mind is still out there in darkness. And that's what happened to the children of Egypt. I mean, they were translated from the kingdom of the Egyptians on their way to the promised land, but their minds were still at Egypt. So many Christians say they are born again and that God has delivered them and saved them from the power of darkness. But they are still one. Sometimes one leg is in the world and one leg is still in the church. So depending on which one is stronger, you end up having your tear and then sometimes tied. Yes. But you have to remember that you have been quickened. God has quickened you and moved you from that course of the world. Do you see? Where in time past, in time past. But unfortunately, some of you, the time has not passed. You are still out there struggling. But I believe by the end of this camp, it would never be said of you that you are still hallowing in sin and in the world. Sit down. Wherein in time past, yes, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Yes. Satan is also called the prince of the power of the air. Satan waves, the media, internet, and all those. He's the prince of that airwave, the prince of the air, things that move through the air. He's the prince, and that is why a lot of you are addicted to pornography, because the prince of the power of the air is actually operating and walking and working strongly against many people. Yes. So you have to be very careful that as you have been delivered from that kingdom, you see, he's talking about in time past. So maybe in time past, the prince of the power of the air was actually in control of your life and your destiny. Now, you are in a new world. You are in the kingdom of God. You are in the kingdom of light. So you can't continue to live under the influence of the prince of the power of the air. Hallelujah. That's why you have to be very careful with what you watch and what you listen to. Jesus said, take heed of what you hear. Take heed. Because there's a prince. There's a power in the air. Do you understand? That is speaking and talking and doing different things. And you have to be conscious of that and be very careful, because that power is what power. It has an influence. It can influence your life and your death in a very negative way. Amen.
Amen.
Sit down. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. There's a spirit that makes people to disobey. And make people. You know, one time I was telling a pastor, and I said, listen, when you are given an instruction to do something, especially when it comes from the prophet, never assume that it will automatically happen. Because there is a spirit, you see, that works to make people disobey. There's a spirit. So I told the person that when you are given an instruction, be spiritual about it. And pray about the instruction. Pray. Pray for grace. Pray for the help of God to be able to carry out the instruction, because there's a spirit that will come to fight you to make sure that that instruction is never obeyed. Because it is through obedience that blessings come. And Satan is your greatest enemy. He is your adversary. He's the one who opposes any blessing that should come into your life. So he will make sure that you don't obey. The things that will bring a blessing to your life when you obey, Satan will make sure that you don't obey. The spirit will come strongly to fight you, to fit you, to give you 1,000 reasons why it cannot be done. And so anybody here who is ever given an instruction from God, from your pastor or whatever, from the word of God, I don't want you to assume that that instruction will easily be carried out. You have to be spiritual about it. You have to be to know that there are forces. There are hindering spirits. There are demonic power. There are adversaries. There are opposing spirits that are out there. And their aim is to ensure that you never obey. Yes, you will never obey. And once you don't obey, you attract a curse. Disobedience attracts curses. Amen. The whole of Deuteronomy chapter 28 is dedicated to obedience and disobedience and the effect of it. Blessings and curses. When you obey, you are blessed. When you disobey, you are cursed. So you understand why Satan would like you to disobey instructions. I have never taken instructions lightly. No. In fact, you need instructions. In Proverbs 5:23, it says, for you shall die for lack of instructions. So lack instructions. Your likelihood that you will die, you will not do well. If it's in the ministry, you will not shine, you will not do well. It's very hard. Yes. Instructions are meant to give you life. Instructions are meant to help you to receive marriage. You see, like, you are married, but you don't go for counseling. You don't go for pre-counseling and you don't go for post-counseling. Both counselings are very important, pre and post. In fact, the post is even more important. Because if you don't get a lot of instructions after you are married, do you see, your marriage may die. Yes. And these days you see young people getting divorced. And it's because after marriage, they don't really open themselves for more instructions and counseling. So something that should not be a problem is a problem. Do you see? Yes. So you have to be open to instructions. And when you are instructed, obey. Some people go for instruction, but they don't listen to anything that they are told by their pastor. And if you have been an experienced pastor for some time, at a point, you are not interested to give people instructions. Yes. I mean, one day after 31st night, we closed service around 2 a.m. And I had this cop who had a problem. Stood on my feet on a car park. We spoke from 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. Yes. I mean, people were hanging around. Before I realized, everybody had gone home. And I was left with this couple on a car park, standing, not on sitting. I had been preaching, standing on my feet since 8 p.m. I tell you, only for us to end the meeting without any positive response. I mean, after all was said and done, the couple, the husband told me, "Bishop, I know you will not understand." After talking to you from 2 a.m. to 6 a.m., you are telling me that I will not understand. He never changed his mind and his position. From that day, I said, I'm not going to waste my time again. Yes. And you will see the effect it's having. For you shall die for lack of instruction. When you have somebody to instruct you, to tell you what to do, to tell you what not to do, the person is actually giving you life. Yes, he's injecting life into your life. Do you understand? And he's helping you to live and to survive and to keep going on and moving on. So don't be stubborn. Okay, don't be stubborn. Don't be too hard to receive and to obey instructions. Yes. That's why I'm saying there's a spirit that it works against the children. It makes people disobey and not to follow instructions. Yes. There's a spirit. Yes. And if you ever come into the ministry, which I believe all of you are coming into the ministry, you must remember what I'm telling you. Because in the ministry is about receiving instructions from the Holy Spirit. You will receive a lot of instructions. Yes. Coming from the Holy Spirit through our prophet and through the pastors and the conveners that we'll find ourselves under. But always remember that there is a spirit. Yes. That worketh now. It works now. In the children of disobedience, it makes people disobey and turn them into the children of disobedience. Verse 3. Sit down. Verse 3. Among whom also we had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh. You see, he's talking about the life we lived before. So if you are still living that life, then it's almost like you are still not born again. Our conversation was in the lust of our flesh. So it's like nothing spiritual. The fact that you are truly born again, all right, should be seen in your conversation, the thing you talk about. Yes. You know, when we were not born again, we talk about shoes. And trainers, the line wear or whatever. I mean, these are all fleshly things that we're interested in. Do you see? But as you are born again, you see that now your interest is different. The things you talk about. If I meet you, I don't think we'll talk about cars or shoes or dresses or hairstyles. Do you understand? I can't see myself. You can't, I don't know why you bring such a topic. But there are some of you here, you are born again, you are in the church, but these are the things you talk about. Yes. Yes. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Anything you talk about, you fulfill it. Yes. Yes. If you are always talking about sex, before you realize you have gone to fornicate. Yes. Yes. And she said, watch out carefully. When a brother wants to be to take advantage of you, that's the topic they bring about. You see that the happy message has changed. The tone has changed. Yes. Brother, is it not true? I'm revealing your secrets today. So when the conversation starts going in that direction, you also turn it to John 3:16. Yes. But it's the conversation that makes you to fulfill the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Yes. It sets you thinking, start imagining. And before you realize, the flesh is responding to what you are imagining. Yes. So when you are on that side, that is what happens. So as soon as you are in church, you are born again, you are in the house of God, you have to be conscious about your conversations. What do you talk about? Do you talk about God? Do you talk about the Holy Spirit? Do you talk about chess? Do you talk about messages you just listened? What do you talk about? Hallelujah. And that's why we are here, because we are here to talk about God. We are here to talk about the service of God, the work of God, so that the 3 days that we will find ourselves here, do you see, we will desire spiritual things. Our mind will be on eternity, and our mind will be on spiritual things. That's why we have come. That's why we come to church. That's why we have fellowship, because we want the mind to concentrate, to focus on eternal things and things of the spirit and not things of the flesh. And we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So it means that anybody who is still walking according to this word, find yourself becoming somebody God is not happy with. Yes. Hallelujah. Verse 4, quickly. But God, who is rich in mercy. God is rich in mercy. Yes, God is rich in mercy. You can be rich in gold and silver and dollars and pounds, but God is rich in mercy. That's why in the Bible, there's nobody who never obtained mercy when he called on God for mercy. Yes. One of the prayers you must pray a lot is this prayer of mercy. Because God is rich in mercy. Yes, God is rich in mercy. Over 8 billion people are on earth. And he shows everybody mercy every morning. Lamentation 3:22 says, it is by the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. Yes. He's so rich in mercies that every single one of us here is alive. We are not destroyed. We are not consumed. Even in all our mistakes, he has not led us to the devil to destroy us because of his mercy. But Lord, who is rich in mercy, in his mercies, may you receive the mercies of God. Amen. May you never lack the mercies of God. Amen. Yes. Mercy means exemption from judgment. Yes. From your wicked ways. Is that you have made some mistakes, and your mistakes cause for a certain judgment and punishment. But God says, I've overlooked it. And I'm showing you mercy. Yes. That legally, you are supposed to be punished. You are supposed to be dealt with in a severe way. But mercy says no. God comes with his mercy and said no. It is by the Lord's mercies. Yes. So he said that we used to walk according to the course of this world, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, doing all this, but God
who is rich in mercy. He's rich in mercy. For his great love, wherewith he loved us. The mercies of God is shown in his love for you and for me. Yes. The mercies of God is shown in God's great love. Great love. Wherein he has loved us. Verse 5. Wherein he has loved us. Even when we're dead in sins, quicken us together with Christ. For grace you are saved. Yes. Even when we're dead in sins, the love of God was demonstrated to us when we were dead in sins. It was not when we were not dead in sins or when we were okay. It's not easy to love somebody with a problem. Oh, yes. It's not easy to love somebody with a problem. Anybody who can love somebody with a problem, do you see, is actually demonstrating not just a normal love, but great love. That's why I said, with great love, wherein he has loved us. I had a sister in the church, and she was going to get married. You know, I had told them to do HIV test, but they hadn't done it. So, a few days before their engagement, their wedding, I think it was Monday, they were going to have engagement on Friday, and then Saturday they were going to get married. So I just happened to ask the brother, "Hey, I haven't seen your HIV test. Have you done it?" He said, "No." I said, "What?
What?
At this stage, you have about 5 days to marry." So I wasn't happy at all. So I called a marriage counselor. I said, "What is that? What are all these?" So I told them, "You got to go and do it. Because if you don't do it, the marriage is not happening. You have to fulfill all righteousness." So they rushed to the hospital to do it. And unfortunately, the lady was HIV positive. So the brother said, it's not going to work. The marriage is over. It's not coming on. The lady said, "Oh, we can manage it. We can manage it." He said, "We can go and see the doctor, and he will help us to manage it. We will live a normal life, and everything is going to be normal." But the brother said, "No way. No way." So the marriage was annulled. I mean, it never came on. And the lady was heartbroken. Very, very heartbroken. And to make matters worse, she kept telling her that she was a virgin. And we believed. In part of that I come from, you can't easily find a virgin. By the age of 12 years, people are divisionized. So I used to pride myself in the church that at least I know one virgin in the church. And that was a lady. But anyway, he really kept and insisted that she was a virgin. So the marriage didn't come on. And she was broken, but she never left the church. She stayed in the church, serving the Lord, even became a lady pastor. Yes. Then one day, a young zealous brother showed up in church. But he came and told me, "In love with this sister." A sister. He was
crazy about a sister. He couldn't stop thinking about a sister. He couldn't stop dreaming about a sister. So I told him, does the sister know about this? He said, yes. I've actually told her. And I asked him, so what did she say? Then he said to me, the sister said that she's HIV positive. I said, does it not worry you? He said, not at all. I can manage it. Just manage it. Wow. So then I said, but what about you? Are you positive or negative? So I checked not quite long ago. I'm negative. I'm okay. I'm not sick. I said, really? Are you serious about what you are saying? He said, yes. So then I called the sister. The sister said, yes, Bishop. This guy has been worrying me, talking to me. He likes me. He wants to be with me. He wants to marry me and take me home. I will marry you and take you home. I explained to him about your issues, your problems. I've said everything. But I say it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. He can manage it. He went and met, and I want to spend the rest of my days with her. But there's this little issue. But I don't mind. I'll manage it. And today, they are married with one child. One child. Yes. I'm explaining to you, but God, who is rich in mercy, with his great love, wherein he has loved us, even when we're dead in sin. Yes. Yes. So anytime I read this scripture, I remember this brother. It's like he showed great love. Great love. Yes. Wherein he loved her, even when she was HIV positive. And everybody. Yes. And the lady is even older than the brother. Oh, yes. Brother. I mean, everything. Great. I said great. And they are really a happy couple. They're really a happy couple. Happy together. Together forever. Yes. That is what Jesus has shown us. Yeah, that's what Jesus has shown us. That in our great sin, trespasses, in our evilness, he came to demonstrate great love. Great love. Wherein he has loved us. Amen. For we are saved by grace. Yes. It's the grace of God. Sit down. I'm just explaining the scriptures. Verse 6. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Wow. He has raised us up together and made us sit together. You see, so you are on earth, but spiritually you are seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Your position has changed spiritually. Man has changed spiritually. Yes. That's what it is. Amen. And in life, your position determines your authority. Yeah, your position determines your authority. The authority you have is derived from your position, where you sit. Amen. Amen. So it means that God has given you authority because of where you sit spiritually. Yes.
That's why you cannot tell demons leave and they leave. Yeah, that's why you can cast out devils. That's why you can heal the sick. Because spiritually your position has changed. Yes, and it doesn't need to take 12 years to do that. Bible says, go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Do you understand? They that believed and are baptized, they shall be saved. And as soon as they are saved, in my name, they will cast out devils. It's because of your position. Because of where you sit. You are sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So you can cast out devils. You can say to this, go, and it will go. This, come, and it will come. Because of your position. So never understand who, Lord. You are a child with power and authority. Yes. After your salvation, God has also positioned you in the spiritual realm. You are seated in heavenly places. Together with Christ Jesus. Together. You are sitting together. Can you imagine that? You are sitting together with Jesus. Serious. You are sitting together. In the realms of the spirit. When Satan looks at you, he sees you sitting right by Jesus. Right by Jesus. Together with Jesus. That's serious. That in the ages to come, he must show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace, say for by grace, you are saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. He said, everything is being that is being explained to you is just by the grace of God. Yes. Salvation is a gift from God. It's a free gift of God. Yes. And not of yourself. Verse 9. Lest any man should boast. Yes. You didn't do well wallowing in sin when he showed us great love. Yes. The day I became born again, I was actually on my way to a drinking spot. Yes. I was walking. I was just a few meters away to the drinking bar. When a lady stopped us, me and my friend, we were on our way to booze. It was Friday night. And we used to say, thank God it's Friday. Yes. Thank God it's Friday. We will fool around the whole of Friday into Saturday to Sunday. Yes. So it's not like I was going to church. I was going for an all night. I was actually going to do a bad thing. And then Jesus met us through a beautiful sister who stopped us and anakazoed us to a crusade. And that's why I went and gave my life to Christ. Yes. So, not because of works. Because there's nothing good. Works. What works? If there was any work that we could talk about, they were evil works. Bad things. Some of the things you have done, eh? You cannot even talk about it. Even though you are born again, but it's so shameful to talk about it. Yes. But God has shown you great love. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10. All my plenty talking. This is the verse I'm looking for. Manship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Now the question is, after all that has been done for you, do you see, after the great love, the great mercy, do you see, that God has shown us, demonstrated to us, when men say they will not marry us because we are HIV positive, Jesus said, I will marry you, baby. I will take you for myself. And I will take you to heavenly places. And together forever, we'll stay together. after all that has been done, do you see, this one said, now it's workmanship. It's workmanship.
Change the version.
Sit down, sit down. We are his workmanship, his own masterwork, a work of art, created, NLT. We are God's masterpiece. NIV. We are God's handiwork. Say handiwork.
Handiwork.
Yes. You know, the Greek word for the word handiwork is poema. Yes, it's poema, from which we get the English word poem. Yes, it means something that is or a masterpiece. So God has created you. You are God's masterpiece. That God has designed you in a special way for good works. And I'm talking about everybody here. Yes. It's like all the work that has been done. I mean, as we're reading from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, coming, you see that God has shown you so much mercy. But God, who is rich in mercy, wherein he has loved us with great love, he has done all these things to mold you to become something he can use. You are God's handiwork. You have been made. You have been designed. You are God's masterpiece. You have been crafted in such a way that God can for good works. And good works. Bible says God has prepared them in advance. It's not like he took a decision today or yesterday. Long before. God had something in mind about you. That's what the Bible says. Whilst we were yet sinners, Christ Jesus came and died. No, when we were good. So God has meant to use you long before you even became born again. So it will be a mistake to be saved just for the sake of salvation. That you became born again and you just died and went to heaven. There's nothing. There's nothing like that. He saved you to use you. Yes. God saved you to use you. There's nothing like salvation without a call. There's nothing like that. After he saves you, he calls you. After he has shown you mercy, he has plans. God is a God of purpose. He doesn't do anything for the sake of doing sake. No. God is very purposeful. I mean, everything he does, he has a plan, he has an aim. Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy 1, verse 9. Maybe let's read from verse 7. He said, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Do you see? You see, Timothy was a special son to Paul. And he had a lot of personal interactions and a lot of personal advice to him concerning his life and ministry. You know, maybe it would be good to start reading from verse 4. Let's read from verse 4. Yes. Greatly desire to see thee, be mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Verse 5. When I remembrance the unfeigned faith, which is in thee, which first dwell in your grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, for I am persuaded that it is in thee also. He said, Timothy, pastor of your grandmother, and I've been a pastor of your mother. Do you see? And I've seen a call, a certain call that was in them. It first I saw it in your grandmother, and then passed on to your mother. And I know, I'm persuaded that that same calling is also in thee. Yes, that same calling is also in thee. Just as sin can be passed from your father to you, see, anointing and gift and calling can also pass on. Yes, they are all type of spiritual inheritance. Amen. Amen. Verse 6. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance. He said, I'm reminding you that you stir up the gift of God. He said, that gift that is in you, you have to stir it up. You have to make it come alive. Which is indeed by the putting on of my hands. Amen. Amen. Because Timothy was afraid. Was afraid to serve God, to use his gift, to be an instrument that God will use. So he was encouraging him that stir it up. Then verse 7 says, God has not given you the spirit of fear. Because God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Don't be afraid to preach, to talk about Jesus. To share the testimony of Jesus. He was afraid. It's a gift. To talk to people about Jesus. Then in verse 8. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. That's what he was afraid of. Nor of me his prisoner. Because his pastor Paul had been arrested and put in prison. And I mean, usually when pastor associated with bad things, people shun away from them. But I said, don't be ashamed. Be ashamed of your pastor because somebody's insulting him. Somebody's casting insinuations on him. Don't be ashamed. All over. Using social media to tarnish the image of God's servants. Because God's servant will not hunt and will not come and explain anything. So people go on ranting and insulting and putting slandering and maligning and doing all kinds of wickedness. Yes. But Paul told Timothy, don't be ashamed. He said, they have put me in a newspaper that I'm a criminal, I'm a bad person, I'm a wicked person, I'm in prison and whatever. Don't be ashamed to talk about me. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Yes. Verse 9. He said, he that saved us and called us with a holy calling. Say holy calling. So God saved you, all right, and you. That's what I'm saying. There is no salvation without a calling. Once he saves you, he has called you. Once he saves you, he has called you. Once he saves you, he has called you. You are waiting to be called. You have been called already. You are waiting to be called. You are saved. Therefore, you are called already. Yes. Why do you think that among your friends, you are the one God to your friends, out of your siblings, to be saved? When they are still not saved and they can't seem to be free from all the evils, that should tell you God really has a purpose for you. He has a plan for your life. Amen. Yes. So he said that he who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. That word holy means special. Special calling. The call of God is very special. Because the one who does the calling is God himself. Yes. The speciality of your calling is based on who is calling you. Who is calling you? That's what makes it special. If it is God who is calling you, then it's a special calling. If the prime minister, you take your phone and they call from the prime minister's office, and they say, oh, the prime minister wants to meet you, he's calling you. You'll be telling all your friends that, Charlie, I just got a call from the prime minister. Share call. Because of who the person is. So the call of God is very special. It's special because God is the one who is calling you. And who is God? The creator of the universe. Amen. With a holy calling. According to our works. He said, this calling, it has nothing to do with what you have done and what you are doing and what you are not doing. No. But it's according to his own purpose and grace. The purpose of God is always accompanied with his grace. That's why you should never be afraid, like Timothy was afraid. Once you find yourself in God's purpose, grace is already available. Oh, yes. Grace is already available. Grace means the help. God has already made provision to help you to execute his assignment and his purpose, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Which means that before you were formed in your mother's womb, God had already planned this purpose for your life. Yes. Listen, the essence of life is not to just come and eat, make money, build houses, buy cars, wear nice clothes, and one day you are dead. Then there's no difference between us and animals. Yes. Because they also come into the world. They eat, they drink milk from their mothers, grow up, eat. Do you understand? They have a place to stay comfortably for years, eating, drinking, they move around. They fight sometimes among themselves, like the way we also fight. Sometimes they are happy, they play around and do all that. They socialize, they have sex, they have children, and then one day they are dead. That's animal. And many people are living their lives like that. Yes. Yes. To the world without any purpose, that this is my purpose. This is the reason for which God brought me into the world. That's your greatest tragedy. Yes. So that's why chapter 1 of the book, Many Are Called. You see, that chapter has a question. Why am I alive? Why am I alive? Yes. Why am I alive? That's the chapter. That's all the things I'm talking. I'm coming to this question. Why are you alive? What is the essence of you being here, being alive and not dead? And why has God not allowed you to die as soon as he saved you? Because if salvation is all about being saved from your sin, as soon as you become born again, you should die and go to heaven. Just go to heaven. After all, you are saved. You have obtained mercy. So just continue and go and be in heaven and enjoy. But that is not the reason. The reason why God has kept you alive is so that you carry on with his purpose, the good works which he has ordained for you even before the world began. And fail to live to fulfill these good works is a tragedy. The greatest tragedy in life. To come into this world and to be saved by grace and not fulfill the purpose of God, the will of God for your life, is a tragedy. It's a tragedy. God has ordained works. He has prepared works for you. Works for you. And his purpose is always about people. Since the creation of man, God's purpose has always been about people, human beings. Yes. So you want to know the purpose of God? It's about how you affect the lives that are on this earth. 8 billion people God has placed on this earth. Yes. Your good works is about the 8 billion people on this earth, how you can affect them, influence them positively to be saved and to find themselves in the purpose of God.
That's the reason why God has kept all of us alive. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes. God has only one purpose, to save the world from their sins. Jesus said in Luke 19:10, he said, the Son of God came to seek and save that which was lost. Paul told Timothy, he said, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all assent, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. This is the ultimate reason why Jesus came into the world. This is the ultimate reason why Jesus came into sinners, to save all of us from our sins. Chief sinners. This is the reason. And it will always be the reason. And this is God's purpose. To save the world from their sins. The angel told Mary, he said that the boy you are carrying, he shall save his people from their sins. Yes, that's the reason why he's coming. He's going to save his people, the world, from their sins. This is the reason. Yes. And you know, all of us are born to become saviors. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it says, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Verse 29, it says, for whom he did foreknow, God had known you long before you were even from your mother's womb. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. You see, our lives are made to be to the image of Jesus. It's like when people see you, they should see Jesus. It's like there should be no difference between your life assignment and the life assignment of Jesus. It's like the same, because your life has been made to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So if Jesus' purpose was to save sinners, do you see, and your life is made to be conformed to his image, then we should also see you saving sinners. Is it easy to understand? Yes. That's why they said that the disciples were first called Christians, because their deeds were like Christ. And they saw them preaching, teaching, healing. It's like, this is... This is what Christ was doing. So they called Christians. These were the works of the anointed ones. Like, this is what anointed people do. They go about preaching, teaching, and healing. Saving souls. Bible says, when they saw the boldness of Peter, James, and John. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. When they saw. Do you see? The boldness of Peter and John. And perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. It's like, these guys, what we are experiencing and what we are seeing about them, we can testify that it's because they have been with Jesus. Like, everything Jesus was doing is what they are also doing. The boldness at which they preached and ministered is that the same. You see, their lives have been conformed to the image of God's Son, which is Jesus Christ. Christian, a born-again Christian, after God has shown you so much mercy. You see, God's aim is to make you to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. You should be like Jesus. You should be like Jesus. You should be like Jesus. Think like Jesus. Behave like Jesus. Operate like Jesus. So when people say that this guy is a Christian, they are saying that your life has been made be conformed to the image of Jesus. So then you have to ask yourself, who is Jesus? He's the savior of the world. You must also be a savior of a sort, of your friends, your family, your neighborhood, your community, your maze, your school,
It's like your parents there must be conformed to the image of Jesus. If Jesus was in your school, what would he be doing?
Wow.
If Jesus was a student at where you studied, what would he be doing? What would he be doing? Do you understand the question? Yes. So this is why we are alive and we are not dead. This is why we are alive and we are not dead. Yes. And you know, Jesus gave us one of the most important wisdom to acquire. And that wisdom is found in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 29. Sit down. He said, come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Man's greatest laden or heavy load is a load of sin. Yes. Sin is our greatest problem. And he said, come unto me. Anybody who is laden with sin, burdened with sin, and I'll give you rest. Now, after he has given you rest, or in other words, he has saved you from your sins, then take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Do what? Take my yoke. Take my burden. The yoke, that word, change the version. Take on you. Let me teach you. Continue. Keep giving us different versions. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm gentle, meek, and humble. Walk with me and walk with me. Watch how I do it. Watch how I do it. Simply join your life with mine. I like this one. Simply join your life with mine. Yes. Simply mine. Yes. After your salvation. After you have come with all your fornication, your evil ways, unforgiveness, all the bad things, and then I give you rest, I save you. The next important instruction is join your life with mine. In other words, take my burden. I have a burden. Come and join me in that burden. And my burden is to seek and save the lost. That's my burden. To see that all men are saved. That's my burden. Do you see? My burden is to care for God's people. To shepherd them, to pastor them. That's my burden. Come and join me in this burden. And learn of me. Learn of me. I'll teach you how to do it. So you cannot just be saved and sit in the church and make yourself happy. No. It's not possible. It's on scripture. It's against God's will. He wants you to join him after salvation to take the burden of soul winning, the burden of church planting, the burden of building the house of God. When Jesus was on earth, these are the things that he spoke to us about to show his passion and his burden. So I will build my church. I have a burden to build my church. And I will never allow the gate of hell to prevail against it. No, I will not. I have a burden to seek and to save that which was lost. And he even showed us different parables to demonstrate that. Yes. That a good shepherd, he leaves the 99 and go for that one lost sheep. And when he finds it, he carried that lost sheep and put on his shoulder, come dancing, rejoicing. That's his burden. That when he finds a soul, he's happy, heaven rejoices. Just one. He told us the story of the prodigal son. That when he finally came, his father came and fell on his neck and gave him a kiss and changed his life and celebrated him. And said, this my son was lost, but now he's found. He was dead, but now he's alive. That is his burden. His burden is to look for people who are lost to be found. People who are dead in sin to come alive. That's his burden. And he said, come and take that burden. That's yoke. Come and also experience it. Take it. And you will be blessed. You will have rest. You'll be happy. That's the burden. So I'm helping you to answer the question, why are you alive? Dead. I'll tell you a story, an experience I had in 2010, about 15 years ago. Then we are going for breakfast. You know? It was a Friday. I had gone for all night. And I'd come home to sleep. So I was in bed. And I was chatting with my wife, trying to sleep. Then in the next moment, I saw myself standing by the bed. And I was looking at my body on the bed. And I was seeing my wife also lying by me. And I said, could this be a prophetic vision or what? So then I wanted to touch my own body. But everything was air, space. When I touch, I don't feel my body. My hand will just go like this. Look like you see in movies. I'm telling you. Ghost. Then my wife was lying there. And I said, hey. Then before I realized, I could hear the sound of melodies. Beautiful voices. They were singing songs that I've never heard before, but beautiful. Sweet melodies. The sound was getting louder and closer and louder. Then I said, ah, it looks I'm dead. I'm telling you. It looks like I'm dead. This is what dead is. This is what death is. So I was still forcing because I didn't want to die. So I was still forcing to do something if I can go back into my body. But it's like it was not working. I was just frustrated. Then I screamed. I said, Jesus, I haven't finished your work. As soon as I said that, I saw my body entered into the body on the bed again. Shim! And I woke up. Yes. I woke up. I was confused. I was wondering what was happening. And there was my wife. My wife was also confused. Like, what's going on? Because we were chatting and suddenly I was not responding. So I said, I think I died. So what do you mean by you died? How can you die at this time? Yeah. But you know, it changed my life, even up to today. Yes. At that time, our church in Mozambique was just in a small. There was no land. There was nothing. There was no church building. Nothing. But I remember my words. I said, Jesus, I've not finished your work. Yes. And that was the reason for my return. Yes. Since then, no, I don't retreat. I don't waste time. I'm all out, sold out. Because I know the day I stop is the day he will call me. Yes. And you know, 15 years. Today we have 78 churches. At that time, there was only 2 churches.
You see? Yes. There was no cathedral. Today we have 7 cathedrals. Yes. The church was just about 200 and something people. Today on Sunday, the whole country, about 5,000 people are gathering. There were just 4 pastors. Today we are almost about 80 something pastors. It's like this 15 years ago. So if I had died, it's like all these other things. Do you get it? Yes. So God has kept you alive because he has works for you. He has 78 churches for you to start. He has 89 pastors for you to train and to raise up. He has cathedrals for you to build. He has souls that are depending on you. They are waiting for you to appear, to teach them and to show them what to do. That's why you're alive. That's why he has kept us alive. So I'm just sharing with you what I experienced. You don't need to experience it. God has made somebody experience it so that you learn from it that, listen, God has for good works. So. Yes. Yes. Recently, I heard a prophet saying that word, I'm tired, we should never say it with our mouth. That word, I'm tired. Because he has watched some people say, I'm tired, and they have died. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Say, I'm not tired. Yes. This year alone, I've heard him say it 3 times. Yes. Say, you know, one was on the phone. He said, this thing that people say, I'm tired, is a very dangerous statement. And I know people who have made such statements, and that was the end of their lives. Because God has kept you here for a reason. So when you say you are tired, then why should you be here? There's no need. Come and rest. That place is a resting place. Come and rest from your labors. Yes. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, blessed are they that die in the Lord. Henceforth, they shall rest from their labors. Yes. And their works do follow them. So when you say, I am tired, then it's like, okay, you want to come and rest from your labors. It's like you have worked and you are tired. Come and rest. So don't be saying, I'm tired. LP, I'm tired. Sister Philippa, I am tired. I've been doing this work for a long time. I am tired. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. You should rather say, give me more work. I have energy. I have strength. Give me more work. The reward for hard work. Yes. It's not more resting. Let the weary rest. No. The reward for hard work is what? More work. It's not more resting. Because sometimes after hard work, you want to rest. But in this kingdom, the reward for hard work is more work. Yes. So never say, I'm tired. Yes. Work, work, work. Jesus said, work white. Don't rest. Work while it is day. For the night cometh when no man. Yes. And when that night comes, it means that you are getting ready to go to eternity. Yes. So I scream, Jesus, I haven't finished your work. Because the people were coming for me. Yes. Initially, the music from afar. It was coming. Hey. I said, what are all these? Beautiful melodies. Then they were getting closer and louder. Getting closer and louder. Then immediately I said, no, no, no. This one, I think I'm dead. They are coming for me. So I shouted, Jesus, I haven't finished your work. This is 15 years ago. I haven't finished your work. You have not even started. And you are saying you are tired. Where are the churches you have planted? Where are the pastors you have raised? Where are the members you have gathered for the God? This whole country is waiting for you. Yes. The whole country is waiting for you. That's your calling. That's your purpose. To be a missionary, to go somewhere and preach somewhere. They are waiting for you. Yeah, some of you ladies, you are a missionary's wife. Yes. You are not saying amen. God is waiting for you to speak a foreign language. To be speaking Spanish and Dutch and Portuguese and French. Shout out to finished. Look, I'm telling you, I'm not joking. As soon as I said, I saw my spirit entering my body like that. I mean, I've seen what death is. I'm telling you, it's real. When you die, you will see within a twinkle of an eye, you will see your spirit has left your body, and you see your body lying down. And you will try to enter the body back. I'm telling you, you will try. It's frustrating. So I can imagine if people die without Jesus, and demons are coming. And they want to run back to their body, but it's not working. It will not be easy. Yes. It will not be easy. You really want to go back. You really. This is your body lying down. It's like, you want to touch. You'll be so frustrated. So, ladies and gentlemen, God has kept all of us alive unto good works. Yes. The good work of soul winning, shepherding, loving and caring for God's people, raising disciples, people up in the fear of the Lord, planting churches, gathering people together. Stand to your feet. Everybody, stand to your feet. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes. Lift up your hands. We are going to take a break. I wanted to pray and thank God that He has kept you alive. After salvation, He has kept you alive. For His purpose. For His purpose. Oh, Ramazande le barakarabalabu, shekarabalabu. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for keeping us alive. We now know why you have kept us alive, Lord. Why we are not dead after salvation. Why you have kept us alive. Alive. Thank you, Lord. Reba zikara barababa ya baba. Rema zandele barabu shekara baranda zikara. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Ibi riba zianda rabu zendela bu shekara baraba. For this reason, you have kept us alive. For your purpose and for your way, Lord. Oh, Jesus. We will never say we are tired, Lord. We will never surrender. We will never retreat, Lord. There's more for us. More for us. There's more for us to do, Lord. Ah,
Yes, Lord, liberi bara 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 I kara da bara 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 bara. Mandere bere 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 bere. Le mara kara bara bara zila bara 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 shikara. I kara bara bara zikara bara 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 bara. I bara 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 zikara le bere 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 bere. I bara 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 in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, with you, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'm sure Philippa will give the announcement.